Hello, everybody. Today is the 21st of December, 2024. We are gathered here for another session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English conducted by Dhanisa Ranawaneya. This is the 164th session. And as usual, I would like to welcome Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for this session. And I'd like to welcome everyone who's participating via Zoom or Facebook live stream or anyone who will be watching later. We also, as usual, our program will commence with an in-session practice of mindfulness, followed by the talk on today's topic. And then we will have time for any reports and finally the Q&A. So to begin today's session, let me invite Venerable Bhante to start the in-session practice of mindfulness. Over to you, Bhante.
Thanks, Sonali. Hello, everyone. So today I thought we can do a sit-in session to start the program. For this, you have to sit in a comfortable manner. Adjust yourself. Make sure that you are seated comfortably. Once you are comfortable in your posture, you can gently close your eyes. Bring your attention to the present moment and notice what you feel. You might feel the body breathing. Maybe at your nostrils, maybe in the belly. We try to be conscious of our breathing. Time to time, thoughts, sleepiness, pain, irritations in your body. These things come and grab your attention. But soon you can realize it and gently return back to the breathing. Let's try and continue mindful sitting for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone, that's about 15 minutes of mindful sitting. Now you can open your eyes again. With that, Sonali, you can take over.
Thank you, Bhante. Next on the agenda is the talk on today's topic. The topic is for this week is egocentrism. We discussed this last week with Venerable Manuel as well, and we will continue this this week. And for that, I warmly welcome and invite Bhante to start today's talk on the topic.
Okay, everyone. I think, as Sonali mentioned, this is a continuation from last week. We will try to take the same topic and discuss a little bit further. Now, let's say when we do things, usually these things are egocentric. We try to accomplish something. We try to gain certain things, probably money or sometimes fame, various things we try to gain. Even let's say you are doing something for somebody else, you are doing charity work, but in return you expect certain kind of fame from the society because you are doing all this charity work. Right, so this way, whatever the thing we do, usually it is centering our own ego. Whatever the things we do, we usually try to boost our own ego. Sadly, even when it comes to meditation, people try to use that very practice to boost their ego. I'm a meditator. It's only me who can do the practice properly. Others are not meditating, so they are menial to me. Right? So these type of thought processes are there. We do things, but usually these things are always centering our own ego. That way we work, that way we function, right? So this topic, it's a very nice one. And the quote says, when the path you walk always lead back to yourself, you never get anywhere. The path you walk, if it is always leading back to you, then you are not getting anywhere. That's the idea. So usually, whatever the paths that we are walking, they eventually leads back to us, back to our own self, back to our own ego. We do many things, but in return, we expect certain things by doing them. So this type of a behavior, this type of a egocentric nature is there within us. And if you want to get proper satisfaction, if you want to get proper results in your life, you have to change this behavior. Yeah, if you are thinking about yourself all the time, that doesn't help. You just do things, maybe for the sake of doing them. You just do them because they are a part of your life. You just do them because they have to be done, not because these things benefit you, right? So that's the very approach towards the mindfulness practice. When we try practicing mindfulness, we let go of these gains, of these egocentric ideas. Let's say a beginner, when they start their practice, they usually try to achieve. Within a short period, they want to achieve in meditation. They want to reach a certain milestone in meditation. That way only they are starting the practice. Initially, actually, even the teachers advice, it's usually encouraging them. Okay, keep on practicing, do your daily hours, you can reach advanced level of meditation within a certain kind of a time period. That type of encouragement is given. But when it comes to the seasoned practitioners, they only know that you can't really expect anything in meditation. You just do the walking for the sake of walking, and you never expect anything in return. If you have expectations, and that's still needs progress in the practice. You just do the walking. You don't expect anything in return. You just do the sitting practice. You haven't gained anything during that hour. That type of approach would be eventually developed. Your attitude will change. When you keep on practicing, your attitude will change. You will realize, although you try to maximize, although you try to achieve, that is not really valid in the practice of meditation. When you try to achieve, you get a disadvantage in the practice. So whatever we do, let's say walking, sitting, even in our daily activities, it's not about gaining anything or achieving anything. Instead, it's more like naturalness. Naturalness in the walking, naturalness in the sitting. Just sit and, you know, let the things take their own routes. Walk and simply follow whatever comes. That type of approach will be eventually developed. The beginners, they try to achieve, but little by little, they realize achieving is not going to work in the practice of meditation or the mindfulness. That type of approach is best when it comes to meditation practice. You just sit for that hour. You just walk for that hour. You do it just for the sake of doing. Most people, they have this idea of, you know, successful meditation session, unsuccessful meditation session, that type of idea they have. What they call as success. If their mind is calm and composed, they think that's a successful meditation session. Right? If their mind is all over the place with thoughts and agitation, they think that that session wasn't much of a success. These two are like gaining attitudes, you know, egocentric. You are centering the practice. You think that you have to gain something there. But when it comes to the true practice, whether the practice session is calm and composed, whether the mind is all over the place with thousands of thoughts and agitation, we try to welcome both these sessions equally. Today's practice would be unique to today. You can't expect yesterday's practice in today's session, right? Most people think that way, but the practice will teach you. Practice will teach you that if you have any expectations, even about the practice, that won't work. You go with expectations, you will be disappointed. So you just go and sit. sit in a comfortable manner. Whatever the status of mind, whatever the things that come, that's your meditation for today. Sometimes it will be calm and composed. Sometimes it will be hectic. But both the sessions should be respected equally, valued equally. That's the proper mindfulness practice. Sometimes, although you don't appreciate, during those sessions where the mind is all over the place, where the mind is agitated, during those sessions, you gain a lot than those calm and composed meditation sessions, right? So whatever the session, whatever today's practice, you have to welcome it. You have to accept it. That way only you can truly develop in the practice. Otherwise, you will be having certain kind of a gain in attitude, even towards meditation, and it doesn't help, right? So do your daily meditation. Welcome whatever the status of mind, whatever the practice brings you, and that way only you can really thrive in the practice of meditation. And when it comes to this egocentric, now let's say the breathing, we take the breath, and that way we try to be mindful. So our primary self is identified as this breathing body, right? This body breathes, and it is solid. That type of a perception we have in our mind. But the meditators, they experience certain things in their practice which doesn't align with this usual perception or understanding. Let's say the breathing. Can it stop in your body? All right? If the breath stops, then you are done. That is your usual understanding about the breathing. But in the meditation, sometimes the breathing disappears. Breathing disappears, and most people, they become fearful, and they try to force their breath and make sure that they are alive. That is the ego that's at work. But little by little, when you have more and more experience, you realize the body is there, but the breathing disappears. And when that happens, that's a major blow towards the ego that we are maintaining. Because ego represent, this body represent a big part of that ego. This is me. This is how I am. I am tall. I am short. I am fair in color. Right? So the body, that's one of the main representations of our self. We beautify this body. We take it everywhere and show other people, this is me. This is who I am. That way we show them. So when it comes to meditation practice, when the breath disappears, that's a major blow towards the ego, towards the identification of this body. But when you have more and more experiences, you realize without the perception of the breathing, the body remains. And even when you practice further, sometimes certain parts of your body disappears. You lose the perception of your arm. And suddenly, you don't have that part, right? Some people, they secretly touch the arm and see whether it is there. Of course, when you touch it, you can feel. But in your practice, these parts of your body disappears. This appears in the meditation. So when such things happen, you realize that although this body was identified as you, yourself, there are these states of your mind that without the body, without certain parts of your body, without the breathing, you exist. Right? So that those type of experiences are good for the practice because they are major blows towards the solid understanding of ourself or of our ego. Right? And little by little, when you practice further, sometimes even the identification of, you know, oneself, like identification of being here, that too disappears. For a few minutes, you don't know where you were. Only after getting back from that status, you reflect and you realize past few minutes, I couldn't perceive anything. I couldn't perceive anything. Instead, I was there, but I wasn't able to perceive. Right? So those type of experiences take us to different dimensions of ourself. Right? So earlier we thought this solid body represents ourself. That's how the world people think. But when it comes to the meditators, they realize that the perception of the body disappears. The breathing disappears. When that happens, you become fearful. But little by little, you are able to sustain those states of mind for a longer period. Then sometimes you realize that there's no perception of being. For a few minutes, few seconds, it disappears. But after you can reflect and realize I was in this status for a few minutes, I couldn't reflect back then, but now I know. Right? So those type of experiences are challenging the center, the ego. And let's say when it comes to certain periods, especially, let's say, when you are sick, this solid, smooth ego is challenged. That happens, especially during the sick periods. When you are sick, the solid status of your ego is challenged, and it feels like it's broken into pieces. That smooth flow is not there, right? Sometimes even the inner voices are broken into different three, four like personalities, right? Different voices that you hear, right? So those type of experiences are good for the practitioners. It won't be easy to go through them because they feel terrible. But the sickness will tell us, sickness will show us different shapes, forms of our own self. Not if you take painkillers and other medicine. If you take them, then of course you are cut off. Right? Even I was sick last week. I was thinking whether the sickness has gotten worse or whether my body is weaker. Because I always remember sickness used to be, it wasn't this hard, right? So, but later I realized it's because I am not right away taking any medicine. That option is available, but usually now we try to examine it at least for a few days and see what the sickness brings. And when that happens, it is unbearable. Feverish, bodily aches, pains, and all the other difficulties come, and you have to face them. It's not like you can avoid them, right? If you go through that type of experience, at least for like a couple of days, then you realize the ego is broken into pieces. That smooth flow of ego is no longer there. That smooth voice is not there. Sometimes the voice is broken into different, three, four different personalities. One personality is cursing yourself all the time. At a deep voice, probably. And another personality trying to, you know, somehow mend things and go. Right? So you can see your own self broken into different personalities. And these voices are trying to argue themselves within. One voice is cursing, the other one is trying to, you know, mend things. That way this argument is there. It feels like some other people are arguing within you. Right? So those type of experiences will tell us what is the real ego. We are trying to find it. If this is the center, what is the real center? That's the search that we are after. Especially when it comes to those sick periods, it's a good experiment to see which parts are real, which parts are faulty. And those experiences are similar to somewhat like, you know, this schizophrenic type of experiences. They to hear voices within themselves. Some voices are commanding themselves. Some are arguing. Some are supportive, right? So those different voices, they have to deal throughout the day. And it's a terrible illness. I've seen this clip on YouTube. A lady during a episode. And she is arguing with somebody. Intense argument. But there is no other person. There is no second person. The dog is wondering what is happening. The dog is barking, trying to say that there is no other person here. But this lady is continuously arguing. Right? So those type of episodes happen to people. This very own self create the illness. We may not have such illnesses, but still during those sick periods, we can get a glimpse of that. Maybe it'll help us to be more empathetic towards others as well, because I see myself in that terrible situation at least for like a couple of hours. And how difficult that would be if it continues forever, right? So that type of experiences, you can see when the ego is broken into pieces, right? When it is solid, when we are healthy, it has this smooth flow. No issue. When we are healthy, flowing smoothly, no issue. When we are healthy, the voices are calm and composed. But when it comes to sickness, you can really feel this very ego is broken into pieces. And when that happens, you can't really identify which one is which. Who am I? You might ask the question, the philosophical question that has been lingering forever. Right? Who am I? Who is the ego? Who is the person that resides within me? When you hear those different voices, when you feel those broken pieces, you wonder whether this is me, whether this is the true representation of me. Which personality represents me? Right, so those type of questions, those type of doubts might come to your mind. In the name of the meditation practice, mindfulness practice, our suggestion is not to identify with any of these things. Just keep on observing without judging, without identifying, trying to maintain your observation. That's the usual advice given for a meditator. The mind tries to, identify with these things, saying that this is through me, not the other part. This voice represents me, not the other things. That way, our mind tries to tell us. But the true practice would be to continue your observation without coming into a conclusion or without identifying with these things. That way, when you continue, especially during those rough patches, you might gain a lot of insight into your own ego, into your own self. Only through the rough patches you get these experiences. Let's say when you go through certain problems in your life, we don't like problems, right? We prefer not having them. But in reality, that is not an option. And when you go through different problems, it's a journey that will allow you to find yourself as well. If you face those problems with that attitude, then you realize the problem takes you through a journey that will tell you who you are. What are your preferences? What type of thought patterns that you have? Without those type of experiences, without those type of problems, you might not even get a glimpse of them. Right? So when it comes to meditation practice, we say even these rough patches, they have a lot to teach. This sickness has a lot to teach us. Problems, issues in our life, they have a lot to teach us. That would be the noble experiment, finding who you are, who am I? You keep on asking that question and trying to bring your attention within and keep on observing. That observation will tell you, eventually will tell you who you truly are. Not within a short period, not within few months, few weeks, but instead you have to continue your observation. See whether there is a permanent self, there's a permanent thought process, whether there is a permanent feeling. That way you have to keep on observing. Keep on observing, and that observation will lead you towards finding oneself. It might take time, but it's worth taking. And in the process, you will lose this idea of, trying to achieve for yourself. Trying to walk the paths that will always lead back to yourself. For a change, you'll do something without thinking about expectations. That type of approach, that type of attitude will be eventually developed. When you do the practice, little by little, that'll come. Because this egocentric thing is not working for you. It's not working. Instead, the practice will tell you that you do things, but you are not having certain type of expectations or certain egocentric ideas. You work with other people. Sometimes you are generous, but not because you planned or trying to gain something for it. Right? So that way the attitude will change. The ego or the center will disappear. But it takes time. It takes time. And with time, you can really see the improvements. You can really see the changes within oneself. You will see how much of a hindrance that egocentric thinking has been in your life. You'll become more energy efficient when you let go of that center. And you merge with nature, you become one with nature. You truly are a part of nature, but the stupidity in one's mind, it is thinking that it has a different center. It has a different existence. But the meditation path will evolve yourself and become one or merge into the nature little by little. That change, it will happen within you, but it takes time. It takes time. And whatever the things you do, though, there'll be wholesome activities. And they have this idea of, you know, inferior, let's say, generosity and superior generosity. Inferior generosity, they tries to be generous. Hence, it becomes inferior. But the superior one, there's no trying. Whenever the opportunity comes, they be generous. But there are no expectations out of that. They don't expect gain or some benefit out of that. Most people, they do these things, but they expect benefits. Hence, it becomes inferior. Sometimes they want to have a heavenly rebirth by giving the dana or something like that. Those very thoughts, they make the act inferior. So if you want to do things properly, you have to do with a wholesome mind. You do things not because you are trying to gain something, not because there's this purpose, but instead you get the opportunity, you do it. You don't think about it twice. You don't think about the benefits. Instead, you simply do and move on. That type of approach is much better and healthy towards life. And that's the very idea that's discussed here. So I think that should be enough for today's talk. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Bhante. So this we always discuss a topic every week. And if anyone wants to discuss a different topic next week, or any other weeks ahead, please write to us at beginnersnv@gmail.com or use the Google form to let us know what you would like to be discussing in the coming weeks. Next on the agenda, we will move on to the reports and Q&A. And to conduct this session, I would like to welcome Samantha to start.
Thank you, Sonali. Avasarai Bhante, and thank you for that very valuable talk. That's very helpful to us mindfulness as well. Like Sonali said, if anyone has any questions or comments on the talk, please, you'll have the opportunity to ask any questions at the question and answer session at the end. Today, we have one report. But before I go on to the reports, I'll just give you a reminder, especially for any newcomers to the program, on the basic guidance, what Bhante was explaining on how to meditate and how to submit your experiences in the form of a report as well to Bhante, so that you can get valuable guidance and feedback on your practice and progress in the meditation. You can, yeah, Sonali's actually just put the screen share so you can actually see it on the chat. As you can see, there are two helpful videos put together by Nisarana Vanaya, both on mindfulness walking and on mindfulness sitting. You can allocate some time for the practice daily, starting with, say, walking meditation, and then move on to sitting, and gradually building up to 2 hours a day. That's helpful. Then please submit your experiences in writing, both mindful on mindful walking and sitting, to Bhante. There's an example in the chat, as you can see, on how to do this. For example, if you're doing walking meditation, you can describe any prominent sensations, texture of the ground, pressure points on the sole, and how the body weight shifted. Similarly, in sitting meditation, again, you can refer to any prominent sensations, say, example, incoming and outgoing breath, if you feel at the nostrils, or rising of the abdomen, or how the breath was, whether it was cold, warm, etc. So whatever that you experience. Also, you can write your mindfulness experiences during the day as well. So it's not just walking or sitting. Obviously, we carry out our tasks, everyday activities. So it's good to be mindful during the day. That's a good practice as well. Then in the session, once you submit your reports on that link, Bhante will give valuable guidance for your own practice and how to progress in your meditation. Yeah, like I said, you can send these reports in the Google form, or there's also an email link using the email that's provided in the chat. So this is a good opportunity to get personal guidance from these sessions by Bhante, and then to see how your meditation is progressing, and continue with your mindfulness practice during the week according to the advice given by Bhante for your own during the report, according to your report that you have submitted. Bhante will address that. Finally, the recordings, as you can see, are also available in the link that's given in the chat. I think that's all the guidance. So now I'll explain, I'll go on to the reports. Bhante, we have one report this week, which I'll read now, which is, yeah. So the first one is mindful walking, Bhante. Walked indoors, noticed feet movements, weight shifting, and touch of clothing on the skin. Having chosen to walk with body facing front on the path, standing at the end with both feet on the floor, then walking backward without turning. This gave a unique experience. Walking forward was much smoother and in flow compared with walking backward on the same path. there was much more care taken while body moved back, and there was less smoothness to the movements. Toes and ball of each foot balanced the body weight. Compared with heels, doing this when walking forward. Walked for 30 minutes, realized that the peripheral vision was relied upon more during walking backward. On mindfulness sitting, sat on the cushion in a comfortable position and waited. Breath noticed near nostrils, where in-breath was cooler and out-breath warmer. Breath became subtle and body and mind felt calm. Attraction for this calmness noted in mind, but knew it was temporary. Breath broke up and felt sleepy. Calmness was there, but body felt heavier. A light vibration felt. Breath had become prominent again. Cannot remember hearing sounds. Thoughts were passing in the background at times. Sat for 50 minutes, felt rested and clear afterwards. Then we go on to the mindfulness during the day. Events that used to arouse highly reactive energy have not had the same effect recently. This event took place about 3 weeks ago, which concerns a public figure in Sri Lanka. Many friends and acquaintances were shocked. Couple of weeks later, some still looked shocked. Realized surprise and disappointment come up initially in mind, which had reduced and accepted the reality within a couple of days of the news. Felt amused that worry or disappointment had not lasted lot for longer, for example, like the for weeks with others. Learned a lot of Buddhism from that public figure. He was chosen to take a different direction. It was unexpected, hence the shock for extended period amongst others. Shorter reaction in mind seems natural now. People change. Accepting this fact is easier now. Truth of Dhamma, however, will last. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you. Teruan Saranai. That's the end of the report, Bhante, for feedback. Teruan, thank you.
Okay, now, when it comes to the walking practice, those are nice experiments that we can do. Even when we teach children at Satipatthana, they too like, you know, these type of experiments. Instead of turning, you walk backwards. And when that happens, you have to be extra cautious to make sure that you properly walk and the balance is maintained. Right? So those experiments are nice for a beginner to understand different ways of practice. Especially children like them. Walking forward, walking backwards. What is the comparison in one's mindfulness? Sometimes people feel that backwards, it requires more mindfulness to make sure that you're walking properly and, you know, maintaining your balance. So those are different ways that we can practice. Usually when we are comfortable, when we are in that autopilot mood, then it's not easy to be mindful. Let's say even the brushing, you have a prominent hand that you use for the brushing. And when you use the prominent hand, it just happens. You don't have to pay much attention. That muscle memory kind of a reaction is there. But when you use the less prominent hand to brush your teeth, then you realize you have to maneuver the brush, make each and every movement consciously, right? So those are experiments that will allow us to slow down the process and try to be more conscious, mindful, right? So it's valid. They are valid, and you know, it's up to you, and you can try in different ways and figure out your best practice. And when it comes to sitting, that breathing is there, but it breaks into pieces and eventually becomes a vibration. So when that vibration is there, you feel like it's no longer breathing. But in reality, that same breath transformed itself into a different sensation, which is the vibration. Right? So these things are starting to act more like energy instead of physical sensations. Right? One can say that Einstein's law about energy, right? Everything becomes energy. And that type of a transformation is there in your meditation as well. When you start your practice, you have a solid mass. But with time, you realize it becomes more and more light and energetic, right? Transforms into energy. So that those type of experiences come in the meditation practice. These transformations, you have to welcome them and see where they are leading you towards. And that's the very idea of the practice. Then when it comes to the daily practice, sometimes these different shocks come. Shocks come and, you know, people are wandering for a few weeks, then they forget about those things, right? That happens. You can't even remember what was the incident after a few months, right? So that is the very nature. When things happen, our mind is trying to create this huge fuss out of it, suggesting that it's the end of the world, right? But within few weeks, you realize now we can't even recall what happened, right? So that's the reality. That's the reality. That's how the things happen. You feel like it's the end of the world, but within few weeks, you realize now I have survived and no longer even remember what was the very incident. Right, so this is how the world works. This is how the mind is trying to create a fuss out of things. But the practitioner, they are not much shaken during those episodes. That's the very, very idea. In their core, they know how uncertain things are. So when the uncertainty appears in the outside world, they are not so much shocked. Instead, that's the nature. Even the Buddha died, right? At that time, the monks were screaming, crying. But he says that this is the nature of things. They are uncertain. That is the very Dhamma. Right? That's in nature. People think that it's the end of the world. No, after a few months you realize, no, we have survived. Right? So even The practice is uncertain. Even the Dhamma is uncertain. Even the Buddha will disappear. Right? So that is the very core, very essence of this Dhamma. So if we are not able to accept those episodes, then we are not aligned with Dhamma properly. That's the idea. Right? So world is always subjected to change. It's an ever-changing flux of things. And that change become prominent at times. Sometimes it fades into the background. But the practitioner, they are always experiencing this change within themselves. How our own thoughts are changing. How our own emotions are changing. Our own attitudes are changing. So how can we expect somebody else to be in a certain way? How can we expect them to think in a certain way? That's not practical. I can't rely even on my thoughts. How can I expect somebody else's thoughts to be reliable? I can't even rely on my own emotions. How can I expect somebody else's emotions to be reliable? I can't even be certain about my existence. No, not sure when will the sickness come. Not sure when an accident might happen. So how can I expect somebody else to be in a certain way? All right. So this is the very understanding. By seeing oneself, we understand others. We are not going to experiment or observe them. Instead, we observe oneself. By observing oneself, you become more empathetic towards other people. You realize you can't rely on your own thoughts. This moment, you are having one thought. Next moment, it will be totally different. This moment, you are having a certain kind of emotion. After an hour, it will be totally different, right? So this is the ever-changing flux of things. So if I am that unstable, if I am that unreliable, how can I expect somebody else to be reliable? Somebody else to be certain, right? So that very observation will distant your mind from these changes. That's what happens. It's not like it's intentional. It's happening naturally. That's why you can say that I wasn't shocked as other people, right? So that is the change that happened through the practice. Can you explain it to somebody? Difficult. Can you prove it to somebody? Difficult. Through the practice, maybe after practicing for a few weeks, few months only, you realize that there's this change in your mind. And other people come and ask the benefits of the meditation. We try not to answer that question. And we say that we do it not for any benefits. We just as a hobby. I don't have anything else to do, so I do walking and sitting meditation. Right? What else can you say? Because can you, okay, is it easier to explain this change within you? Right? How did this change happen? Can you explain? No. Right? We did our practice. As a result, these things come. So it's good that you're experiencing. This is how I faced. This is how other people faced the same situation. You are realizing that your mind is no longer shocked by this world, by the uncertainty of it. Instead, it still has a shock, but not so intense. Right? So continue, and the continuation will tell you more and more about the practice and what are the changes that are happening within you. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante. I think that's the only question we have. There's nothing in the chat either. If anyone has any questions, obviously you can ask in the chat as well. So if there aren't any other questions, any other, yeah, we can then, if anyone wants to ask any questions directly from Bhante now, they can raise their hands on Zoom on their practice or even on the talk Bhante gave on egos and ego. I'll open it to the everyone to if they haven't raised any questions, if they have any. Maybe whilst we wait, if there's any questions, I'd just like to comment, really, Bhante. I mean, I actually experienced this thing about what Bhante was explaining on mindfulness when I was, the power of mindfulness, when I was actually ill about a month ago. It's amazing how it takes problems in your life to really wake you up and realize that I've just been rolling in my own self views and sense, whatever, you know, within my sense pleasures. And it's only when I'm ill I realize I have no control of anything, because I was constantly vomiting and the pain, etc. And that was the first time, well, that's one of the times that I was really, really mindful of what was going on. And even when I just look back with all the problems that, you know, one faces, then the awareness and the observation really heightened. So it just made me realize that how important it is to be practicing mindfulness all the time, so that you're ready to face even in difficult situations. So that's really a valuable talk. Thank you, Bhante, for reminding, because otherwise one can get quite complacent and carry on. Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Yes, thanks for mentioning. Now, usually we are connected, right? We are connected with lot of things. We are connected with other people. We are connected through internet. All those connections are there. But during sickness, you feel utterly disconnected. You can't really rely on somebody else. Although they are there, they can't share your pain, no? Right? If you can share it, then it will be much easier. Give certain part to this person, certain part to that person. That way you can deal. But when it comes to sickness, you yourself has to face it, right? Suffering comes. And it's like, you know, extreme levels you might experience depending on the sickness. And devices, even the devices, you are utterly disconnected, right? Even informing somebody that you are sick, you feel like taking the phone and typing a message is like a gigantic task, like climbing Mount Everest or something, right? So you are in your pathetic self, and you somehow has to deal with it. The body is aching, pain in, feverish, vomitish, right? All those things are there. And you have no other option. You are simply with your pathetic self trying to somehow bear with it, right? So that's why we say one day you definitely has to face this. No meditations can help, nothing, right? Even those near-death experiences, when people go through that transformation, you can feel that their outside body is calm, right? But inside, they are in this huge struggle. Even one doctor, he was sharing one of his experiences about a patient, and she was calm in her body. When the doctor asked this patient the day before, how are you feeling, how are you dealing with this thing? And she said that I am struggling in my mind. I feel a lot of extreme pain, difficulty. My mind is aching, right? So you can avoid it temporarily using painkillers and things like that. But one day, definitely, you'll have to face it, right? When that day comes, usually people are utterly lost, right? You can see sometimes they are cursing others, trying to punish others, screaming, asking for help, but no help will come. That's the issue. That's the issue. So let's say these type of minor illnesses, if we little by little experiment with them, then one day the real issue comes, when the real deal comes, we won't be so much surprised, at least. Right? We won't be so much surprised. So that's the renewable experiment. You have, everybody has to go through this transformation. Nobody will get through this alive. Everybody is terminal, right? So each of us, we have to face it. And the sickness will give us a glimpse of it. Not the whole picture, but at least a glimpse of it, the sickness will give us. So when we are sick, you shouldn't take all those painkillers and cut off. Instead, at least for a couple of days, experience what is happening. What is the sickness is telling us? I know it's difficult. After a couple of days, you can take medicine. That's fine. Right, at least for a while, experience what is happening within you. Right, if you are not taking any medicine, that'll help. That'll help not to ease the pain, but to experience the real thing. Right, so even me, for like I was vomitish, feverish, for like 4 days, loose motion, for like 4 days. Utterly lost in my own pathetic self, utterly disconnected. No other person can help. Even seeing others, I become irritated. Reaching the thought of reaching to the phone is like climbing Mount Everest. Right? So somehow you have to deal with it. Come to terms with it. Right, realize that I have these different forms, shades of my own self. I used to think like, you know, is the sickness, has it gotten worse? Or my body, is it weak? And then only I realize, when I was sick, I take medicine, just sleep for a few days and recover and wake up. But now, when you are not taking the medicine only, you can re-experience the real deal, right? So, not for everybody, probably. But everybody can remember, everybody should remember that one day we all have to face this transformation. Whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter. Whether you're prepared or not, it doesn't matter, right? The timing, you won't know. Right? No, you are not sure when it'll come. So when that day comes, if it's too late, then you'll cry, you'll scream, you'll ask other people to help, but nobody can help. That's the thing. So it's better we prepare ourselves little by little, at least, trying to face illness and see how that experience is. Right? It helps if you have some people who are not very much forceful at your home. Usually what happens is when you are at home, others won't let you, right? They will force you to take medicine. That's how involved the other people are. They feel like if they take you to the doctor, their responsibility is done. Right? So that way they feel. Luckily here, no family members aren't there, no. Right? But after 4 days, I also experienced the same issue. Some couple of monks, senior monks came. Now it's time you have to go. After 4 days, extreme pain, extreme fever. After 4 days, they said, "Now it's time. You can no longer avoid this." So I took medicine. I took medicine after 4 days, and you can really feel after getting the medicine, you are cut off, totally cut off, right? You no longer pain, no longer those feverish things, no longer broken self. You can simply sleep. Simply sleep. And if the painkillers are strong, you get additional benefits. Some imaginary things, some kind of AI feature was working in my mind during that painkiller time. You know, some strong medicine I got. So during that time, you can see that your mind is browsing, browsing YouTube and things like that. Some AI feature is also there. Whatever the thought comes, it is creating these folders of different options on the same thought. So that was a nice hallucination based on the medicine, right? So that's how it is. So my question to you all is, everybody has to go through this transformation. One day it'll come. And when that day comes, if we are not prepared, what happens? You can't really ask for other people's support. What can they do? They can't do anything, no. They'll just cry, create the situation even worse, right? That's the only thing they can do. So you yourself has to go through this. Sickness won't give you the full picture, but at least a glimpse of it, it'll give you. Just a glimpse, right? When the real deal comes, we have to see how it is. At least we won't be that much surprised. That's the idea, right? Most people, they are taken surprised, shocked. What happened? But when you face these things, these episodes mindfully, with the mindfulness, then you realize it won't be a surprise to you at least. So that's the idea. I don't know, some of you might not agree. Avoidance would be much easier. Avoidance.
Thank you, Bhante. Yeah, sadhu, 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 Bhante. That's exactly how I felt. I felt powerless because I couldn't take anything to suppress my vomit. I've been throwing up. And it was just like, oh, that was a horrible experience. And it really made me feel humble for that time being, and made me realize really how clever my body is, really, naturally. My mind, my stupid mind, gets in the way. And if I just let things be, if I have the courage, then for the mindfulness just to kick in and not interfere, how wonderful things could be. But yeah, that takes a lot of practice and strength. Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, I think we've now reached near the time, and I don't think there's any other questions in the chat. Then I'll hand over to you, Sonali, to end this session then. Thank you, Sonali. Thank you, Bhante.
Thank you, Samantha, and thank you to Bhante for that valuable advice, talk, and today's session. So it is time to end today's session. On behalf of all the organizers, I'd like to thank and our usual advisor, Bhante Omakamadama Kusalathero. And of course, not forgetting the chief abbot of Nisaranawane, who asked to initiate this program, Bhante Udayiregama Dhammajiva Mahathero, And of course, to everyone who is participating today via Zoom as well, we will pass on these merits and I hope you all be advance in your own practice as well. And thank you to all the organizers who are behind the session, making everything run as smooth as possible. And of course, as usual, the program will continue next week at 1 p.m. on Sri Lankan time. And we will see you for another session, and may you all have a happy and mindful week ahead. I will now end the session for everyone.